If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll try not to be too long. I know we got a few minutes here before our Sunday morning crowd comes in, but to the church. Hebrews chapter 12, to be a blessing. I always attempt to be a blessing. Get up here every once in a while. You get fired up on something, or the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, or shows you from Scripture, and you preach on it. But this morning, it's good to be with you. Happy to be here, and just to be counted among the Hope Baptist Church family. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll look at what I've got titled here, Committed to God. It can be titled many different things, but being committed and looking and thinking about a father, and sometimes it's still, unless God really lays it on my heart, it's something that, you know, you don't always feel worthy about preaching on because you don't really consider yourself a good father. You try to be, you want to do everything right, but there's a lot of stuff that you misfire on, or not right on as a father. And I think fathers that have already raised their children, some here have raised two generations of families, but you look back and you think, man, I would have done that different. I would have maybe not done this. And then you look back, you say, maybe I would have done this or let this happen. And I see even my father would verbally express those feelings about raising children. And there is not a perfect father, there's not a perfect mother, and there's things that God just allows you to do or not to do during that time. And so I think there are some principles found in Scripture, and there are some convictions that a father will need to sustain himself the distance of being a father in his life. My mother told me when we had Leah, 12 years ago, somewhat, she says, now once you become a parent, you're always a parent until God takes that child home or he takes you home one, but you're always going to be a parent. And you don't think about that. You don't think of things like that until you're a parent. Then when you're a parent, you're like, wow, you know, that's amazing. Then they're 12 years old going on 20, and then here in another 10 years they'll be looking to get married, and you're like, wow, what happened? And it seems to be happening very quick. But talking to fathers and to mothers today, but primarily fathers, we'll look at some things about running your Christian race. And it's not something that's like we call the gold rule, like this is it, and if you do this, then everything's going to be perfect. It's not that. Principles are laid out. It's something that God teaches in His Bible that we Christians should live by if we want to have a strong Christian life. And if you want to be a strong father, what I mean by strong father is somebody who has some principles and convictions and listens to the Word of God in their lives. There's some things that you're going to have in your life. They're just going to be there one way or another. And we're going to look at some of those today, this morning, just for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read verses 1 through 7, and there'll be some other verses we're going to look at in this chapter, but let's start our reading in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, and ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning, and we do thank you for safety on the road, and we pray for those that might be traveling now as we speak. Give them safety and be with those that wanted to come out but were not able to come out due to the weather. And Father, we ask for those that attend here, Father, be with their hearts. suit a blessing to their hearts and their minds. Be with our fathers today as we honor our fathers and father the families that they represent. And we ask that you would be with this lesson. Be with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Father, be with what we say, that we conduct ourselves pleasingly, Father, to behave ourselves wisely in front of your people. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here, we notice some things. Look at verse 1 again, and we'll examine this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The wherefore is a conclusion of the chapter before chapter 12. And we won't read it, but for the sake of making the comment of the context in Hebrews, if you look at chapter 11, that's the Hall of Fame chapter. It begins, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." He begins to explain himself, and then he gets into this by faith, Abel. And you see that he uses this by faith, Enoch. Then he says in verse 7, "By faith, Noah." Then he says in verse 8, "By faith, Abram." Abraham, and then you see in verse 23, "By faith, Moses." Verse 30, "By faith, the walls of Jericho." So you see that this faith, and then he gets to chapter 12, and he says this in verse 1, "Wherefore?" And so he's concluding what he has been writing about in verse 11. "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." What are those witnesses? Those are the witnesses that are in the Old Testament. And right here, this is a writing found in the New Testament. This verse would prove to the student that the Old Testament is not ever done away with. The Old Testament is there, and it is a witness and a testimony, and collectively speaking, but personally, he brings up these individuals that Enoch, Abel, Moses, Abraham, Noah, these are personal witnesses that God used in history, biblical history, or even the world history, to prove what went on during those times. And he says, by faith, and faith is used. Today, we shouldn't live our lives by sight, although we're totally geared for sight and what we see, what we feel, but we should be walking and exercising the faith, our faith. Our faith is what we want to grow. And here, zeroing in on back our lives, our personal lives, even as fathers, this morning you're going to need some faith. That's a sidebar. Now let's look at this a little bit closer. He said that this cloud of witnesses that we have that testify that faith does work, even in the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And he goes on, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So I want to look at this laying aside the weight and the sin. Now, the weight could be something that is just what it says. It's going to weigh you down. In the last couple of years, I've gained quite a bit of weight. I climb scaffold on some of my work. I climb scaffold. I can tell that I have extra weight on me. I feel like I've got a bag of cement and I got to carry up the scaffold. I'm like, man, this is crazy. If I slip, if I fall, I'm going to crack like an egg when I hit the ground. And so weight makes a difference. Where when years gone by, 20 plus years ago, you weighed a whole lot less and I could climb it like a monkey. I'd swing off and he was, "Oh, be careful what you're going to do." You know, but the weight makes a difference. You know what? When you run a race, there would be no way I would even enter a race because of my weight, number one, my age and out of shape. But if you were to run a race, you would not want excess weight. Well, when you look at the marathon run, they have the Boston run, they have a lot of these different marathons. I think, somebody help me out here, we might have some runners here. 26 plus miles? Or 26 miles that they run is the average marathon that they run, something like that. You look at those runners, they have been practicing, some of them, for years to enter that type of marathon. And I think they have tryouts. where you can try out, and if your time is good enough, then you're eligible to run in that race. So there's a select few that get put in that race, and we're kind of familiar with that. That's why I'm using it as an illustration. But any race you run is the same way. Guess what? In our spiritual race that we run, especially as fathers, but as Christians in general, you do not want access way. And so you say, well, what would that be? Anything, any organization, any group of people, anything that your eye or your life desires to have that would hinder you from running an effective race for God is a weight. You'd want to lay it aside. You say, what about your time? You can develop this simply by your time. How is your time spent? If you divided your time up or my time up for the whole week, we'd look at it at a week block, and we would say, how many hours do you have Monday, Tuesday, and what was it spent on? Some of us might even have a journal, a time journal. Sometimes I do that on particular jobs. I'll have a time journal. And whoever I'm accountable for on that job, I write their name down. And the times that they're there or they're on the clock, and the times that they are not there. So there's a time log, a time journal. Most of us punch in, punch out. You have a job. If you have a job, you punch in, punch out, or whatever, you keep track of your time. That's what we're talking about. For God and for the spiritual things, how much time do you spend in that race, the spiritual race? And you'd be surprised how little time we spend. Here he says, look, you need to lay aside every weight. The weight is going to be things that occupy your time. You say, well, as a father, we can get a little closer to this thing. As a father, how much time do you spend with your family? I don't mean around a table with a Bible going over something that they hear Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. What I'm talking about is spending time with them. What is your children's love language? Do you speak your children's love language? One might need quality time. The other one might need maybe things done for them. You say, well, that is your job. That is a responsibility of any parent, especially a father, and he will give, and I will give an account of that one day before God. You see, things that we do now affect them and affect children in their future. So you say, well, what is the weight we lay aside? We lay aside wasted hours and time. Wasted hours and times on things you should be spending with your family. I'm thankful, and I know it's rare for today. I had a father that I worked with my father every day. And I, of course, saw my mother every evening at supper time. And a lot of times, my mom would make our lunch, both our lunch, and she would have breakfast, and then she would have a supper. And it seemed like she got to a certain point, or I got interested in cooking or something. She said, I'm done. You guys make your own. If you want to starve, you starve. And so we'd make our breakfast and our lunch. But supper, she would always make supper. Mom liked to cook, but I don't think she liked getting up at 5:30 or 6:30 whenever we got up. 4:30, and then go to work. And so, in my life, looking back, I got to spend a lot of time with my father, which was a good thing. One of my things is quality time. My language is quality time. Spending time with somebody, that's what I enjoy. I don't have to talk, although you're going to talk if you're together. I don't have to have things, but spending quality time. That might be your love language. Here are the fathers today. Listen, you need to know your love language of your children to be a good father. And he's saying, look, lay aside every weight. In this Christian world, in this Christian walk, in this fight, in this battle that we're in as Christians, we don't understand that everybody has the same amount of time, but you're limited in the time that you have as a father. Make the best of that time. And so here he's saying, lay aside every weight. Notice that not only weight, he says here, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So both these things have a repercussion in your race that you're running. They beset you. They're going to sidetrack you. You're not going to be able to run effectively if you have weight, which is something that holds you down or occupies space or time or talent that you should be spending elsewhere. And so then the sin is simply put. There will be things in your life where you thought, I thought it was cool to do this. You don't have any children, and man, you're kind of footloose and fancy free on your time because you don't have any children. But when you get children, all of a sudden, they're watching you. And if you're doing it, they're going to do it. I often marvel at some parents. They get upset when their children take a job where they work on Sunday. But they themselves will work on Sunday. And so you think, oh, now wait a minute. They just have watched you do that your whole life. And then you get upset when they do it. They learned it from you. If you're able to do it, they should be able to do it. I remember my father talking about his father. His father smoked. He was addicted to nicotine, and he smoked. And he definitely did not like any of the older children. Don't ever do this. But they watched him smoke his whole life. And that's a contradiction. It's a contradiction in teaching. Children are going to do what they see, not necessarily what they're told. And so it's very important that when you get into this weight and sin in your life, especially from a father aspect, that you're going to need to pay attention to what you're letting yourself do or not do. And if it's a sin, it'll cause the other to sin. I think the Bible speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6, not provoking your children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition. So there'll be some things where you might not be able to do because of the children. And so because of their sake, because of their future, you can help them as they nurture and grow in Christ. When I was growing up, again, my childhood is just a little bit different than your average bear, your average child. We didn't have TV. When I mean TV, until the age of 16, we didn't even have a monitor. I think we had purchased a computer in about 1990. 91 or 92 around their computer for the business, and we begin to look at that, but that was floppy, these floppy things that you would put in, and it would boot, and then you could take it out and put the other thing in. So we had maybe one of those in the corner, but the TV didn't come about, or the monitor. When I say TV, I'm thinking of a screen, a monitor screen. I'm not talking of an antenna attached to it. I'm talking just a monitor. That's what they called them. And then the TV, I don't think ever went about. I think they do. They have TV now. But I asked Dad later on. I said, why did you do that? He said, well, it was for the children. We wanted you to develop in reading, writing, and God knows I needed that, and other areas rather than TV. TV occupied a lot of the time. I'm a TV fanatic. I love the TV. I can sit and watch the news, any of them, all of them, news channel, the History Channel. River monsters, you know, any of that stuff. I'm not even an angler or a fisherman, but I like it. It's fascinating. You learn stuff. But it occupies time that I could be either doing something with my children, teaching them, or doing something else that's productive. And so that's what we're speaking of time, laying aside weights, not necessarily a sin. Then you get into the sins and you got problems. So we have this runs with conviction. There are going to be convictions that you will need as a father that you might not think are necessary, but for the sake of your family and your children, you're going to need. Runs with conviction, because it does, by the way, it's on you. Fathers, it's on you. You say, well, my wife, you picked her out, or she picked you, or how that worked. But the father is the head of that home, according to Scripture. He has the responsibility of how that thing runs, and he will give an account of that one day. And so we won't get into how that will be ministered out. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's move to our second point here. I said I'd be short. So we got number one, runs with convictions, laying aside weight and the sin, things that keep you from doing more for God or for your family. And by the way, we say we love God. If you love God, then you're going to raise your children according to Scriptures. It's just like that song, if you don't love your neighbor, then you don't love God. It's a pretty simple application. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the implication. A lot of Christians get away with lip service to God, but then in their home, they live worse than the devil would. The devil's nowhere around. He said, they've got that worked out just the way I want it, and walks away from it. And the Christian there is fumbling and foundering in their home. You say, why? It's because daddy's advocated his position. And the responsibility, whether you advocate or not, is still going to be there. you're still going to answer. Just because you think you advocated your position as a father doesn't mean you don't have the responsibility of reaping the repercussion of how God will deal with that position he give you. Are you assumed on yourself by getting married and having children? All right, I know we're a little hard. Watch this. Number two, notice in verse 1 again something here. He says that this weight in sin which does so easily beset us. I'm in Hebrews chapter 12 for those that have come in a little later. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. And he says here, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You're going to need some patience. And I have simply put here, run with patience. That's not patience. That's patience on your part with yourself. Think of yourself in a running mode. And I'm not the greatest type that should be speaking of running, as I said earlier. But when you run, one of the things that you want to get to as a runner, if I've got this correct, is your second wind. And if you're conditioned right, and you know when you're able to hit your second wind, you have to be patient. Sometimes it comes at the 10th mile. Sometimes it might come at the 5th mile. But you have to be relaxed enough to where your lungs hit the right rhythm. And so that second wind, it's going to take some patience. Have you ever, I remember in my running years, as a child, running and being frustrated with being, you know, your lungs are on fire, you can't do anymore, you're running as fast as you can. But it takes patience to keep running. And I remember John Young, I think some of us know here, Brother John Young. There was times when I was 13, 14, I would go running with Brother John Young. And he was I don't know if he run marathons or, but he was a runner. He run every day. And he would take us to a park, took me to a park, and we'd run down through the woods in these trails. He said, now today we'll see how far you can get. One of the first times I ran with him, and I said, okay. He said, put a pebble in your mouth. It's a pebble in my mouth. Yeah, pick one of those pebbles, spit on it, put it underneath your tongue. You're going to get thirsty. And he says, that rock underneath, he said, a little pebble there is going to keep the saliva in your mouth and you're going to go longer. I was like, wow, this is cool, you know, so put a pebble on it. And he took off. Well, the first run we did was a 4-mile run. It was up and down, around. I didn't even know where we was. I knew he was in the woods. And we would come to a certain point of running, maybe half a mile in or so, and I begin to get really, really, I can't go no further. I want to stop. I want to sit down. My heart's pounding. And he said, don't stop. Don't stop. If you're going to walk, do a slight jog or don't stop moving. And it was hard. I didn't want to do what he was telling me. But he said, look, you can work through this and then you'll go on. And you do more. We ended up doing 4 miles the first time. The second time was a 5-mile run. And it was totally new to it. But having somebody there telling you, keep going. And it was patience. It was patience with my body to keep up, my muscles to keep up. So this patience here, run with patience. This is what he's speaking about, something that you're going to need to run the spiritual race, to be a good Christian, to be a good father, or whatever you're in. But here this morning, we're talking about fathers because it's Father's Day. You're going to need some patience with yourself. And I know I'm speaking to the choir because there's a lot of times I've flown off the handle like, what was that all about? Your father, you're in charge. Why do you got to fly off the handle like that? Well, it's not having patience with yourself. You need some patience. Think about it before you react on some things. You need some patience. Christians, you need some patience with yourself. Things aren't going to just be handed to you. Things aren't just going to be easy. You got some storms to go through. You have some trials to go through. You got some mountains to climb. You have some plateaus and levels to reach in your Christian life. So we're going to need some patience. Patience, number one, on God. Patience, number one, is on light from the Word of God. And patience with the people we're around. It's going to take some more than others. So we need to run, and he said, run with patience. Notice with me again, in verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we put runs with commitment. Jesus as the focal point. Jesus is our focal point. We are here to glorify and to please God. And we do that through witnessing. We do that through being a good father. We do that through running our race with patience. We do that by having convictions and things and standards and principles in our lives that we make good runners. We have commitment to Jesus Christ and His teaching. And those things that we do is to glorify God. You say, well, how do I glorify God? I thought I was just raising my hand. And that's one way, but there's plenty of ways to do it. Witness to your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your wife. Love your children. And so that's ways of glorifying God. And this is what Jesus Christ did, and he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the sole focal point of how we're to run this race. So we need to have commitment to God and to the things of God. And then lastly, let me say it quickly. Look at verse 20, then 28. We didn't read these earlier, but let's read them now. He says, for they could not endure. I'm in verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 12. For they could not, and this is under parenthesis here, watch. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. He's going back, the writer here is going back to the Old Testament. God had laid down a law about Mount Sinai, and he said, look, don't even let your beasts touch the edge of the mountain there. He said, because if they do, they should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And then look at verse 28, wherefore we, now we're back in our context, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. You say, what kingdom is that? That's the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom. That's the things of God, if you please. That's the word of God that cannot be moved. It's always going to be here. That's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ and his teaching. They're not going to be moved. They're real. They're always going to be here. They're eternal. And that's what he's saying. They cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Lastly, runs with endurance. You say, how am I able to run with endurance? You're able to run with endurance because you know that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith and that you have the ability to make it to the end. Paul is our example, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I've run my race, I've run my course, he says, and I've kept the faith, and there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And so here we're seeing that as fathers, you need to have some endurance in your fatherly role. And if you don't have endurance, your children are going to pick up on that. You're going to need some endurance in your prayer life. Say, well, I'm sporadically running prayer. I only pray when I need prayer. Well, that's going to be rough because your children are going to see that type of pattern in your life, and they'll mimic that or be one less than that. You're going to need some endurance in your Christian commitment to the things of God. That's going to be hard to do as a father, but it's doable here. It's doable. And so we have this hope. We have this endurance. We have this patience, and this comes from God. You say, how? How? It's because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. If you're a saved child of God in here this morning and a father on top of that, you're able to run this race. You can do it. It's not always going to be perfect, but it's doable according to scriptures here. So let's stand. We'll be dismissed. I am definitely out of time, and we will dismiss. Hopefully this has been a help. Committed to God as a father, being committed to God, looking at Hebrews chapter 12, and knowing that you're going to need some things that help you run this race as a parent, as a father. We'll pray and be dismissed here. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Thank you for those that have come out and made it. Be with those traveling now, having traveling mercies. And Father, suit a blessing, a special blessing to all the fathers and those that have come out, mothers and the families. We just thankful for a day that we can collectively meet and to glorify you, worship you, and bring you glory. And Father, we thank you for this. Be with the preaching that's coming up. Fill our pastor with the Holy Spirit. Give him wisdom. Give him utterance of speech. Be with the singers that get up, Father, to glorify your name. And Father, be with the offering, the giver, and the cheerful giver. Be with the ministries and the people, the workers, the Sunday school teachers that make a special effort to be in service of you. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. God bless you.